7.6 Privileges. A privilege is the right to refuse to testify or to prevent someone else from testifying in court. It affects not just the ability of the witness him or herself to testify, or a defendant him or herself to testify, but the ability to prevent someone else from testifying. We present in the textbook the most common privileges: attorney-client privilege. A client or an attorney for that client cannot be forced to divulge information regarding confidential communication with an attorney. This is both during representation and after. The privilege does not end after representation. It stays with the attorney. In fact, it stays, although there are some exceptions, it stays even after the client has died. We have the doctor-patient privilege, where a doctor is not allowed, even if he wants to or she wants to, that doctor is not allowed to testify as to communication or records or anything like that regarding the medical matters involving a patient. And if the patient is now involved in a lawsuit, that patient can refuse to have the doctor divulge certain information. Now, there are limitations to this. For instance, if a person is suing a drug company for some claimed damage that occurred because of taking the drug, in that case, the privilege may end up being waived because it's the only way to if it's the only way to prove that the patient did indeed suffer the way he or she claims to have suffered. There's the obvious privilege against self-incrimination, which on the federal level is the Fifth Amendment. You have a right to refuse to testify against yourself. Governmental information, such as tax records, are typically privileged. Clergy-penitent privilege, that's sometimes called the priestly privilege, but it doesn't just apply to priests. It applies to any member of the clergy or religious counselor or representative who is giving advice in the context of being a religious counselor, and that conversation is privileged. Also, spousal communications privilege, where a spouse can refuse, can force another spouse to not be able to testify, can prevent the other spouse from testifying, and that sounds like it opens up a can of worms, but in fact, this is very limited, so that if a man is charged with abusing his wife, that privilege is not applicable. Where one of the spouses is a victim of a crime, it's not applicable. Where there are cases of abuse of a child, the well-being of a child is involved, it's not applicable. So typically, the good example of this might be if a man has been charged with robbing a bank, the wife cannot be forced to testify as to conversations she had. Now, if the wife was involved in the bank robbery, then the privilege does not exist, because a privilege does not protect co-offenders. But if it's just a conversation about the robbery, then that testimony can be prevented. We also comment here that there are some privileges that don't exist, that some people assume do exist, such as accountant-client privilege. There's no such thing as a parent-client, parent-child privilege, or an employer-employee privilege. They just simply do not exist. And that wraps up Chapter 7. Really a concise but a very important chapter. So if you're still up in the air about any of these issues about direct versus circumstantial evidence or about the hearsay rule and so forth, go back and revisit that. But we will, of course, when we get to the segment wrap-up, come back to a lot of these things with the Quizlets and the mock exams. So don't feel like you have to be an expert yet. But if you're confused about certain areas, before you move on to Chapter 8, go back and revisit those, both in the textbook and here on the study support website.